Our scripture is from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Well, good morning, everybody. You know, I was sitting there eating breakfast with my wife this morning. She says, "Are you nervous?" I said, "No, are you?" Then I get to church and somebody comes up to me and says, "Don't be nervous, Mike." Then as I'm coming into the sanctuary here, Cindy grabs me and says, "Mike, you're not nervous, are you?" So how do you think I feel now? Oh, boy. You know, we're just elders that we fill in for the pastor when he's not here, and so we do the best we can. So I hope everybody had a good Christmas 6 days ago, last Sunday. Now we can start looking forward to those other fun things like Valentine's Day, our birthdays, other fun things, anniversaries, things like that. We look forward to those things, and we've pretty much forgotten about Christmas already. Well, as you know, today is December the 31st, last day of the year. And in our message today, I'm hoping to look forward to the future instead of dwelling on some of those unpleasant things that happened in 2022. And that's why the message today is called Good Riddance 2022. Let's have a prayer before we get started, and then we'll get right into the message today. Well, Heavenly Father, as you know, none of us would be here without your grace and your love for us. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will be here as we worship together. And thank you for coming here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, ladies, you're going to have to probably help me out a little bit with this because I only know the male perspectives here. And what I mean is this. There are several male standards that a man has to achieve in order to obtain what is called a male card. Like, I'm a male, you're a woman. I suppose women have a woman's card, but I'm not sure. So we'll just stick to some of the things that a male has to do in order to get his man card, actually. So that's a little better. In order to have a man card, you have to be able to jump start a car. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to know how to put the positive on the positive post, the negative on the negative post, and you need to know which one to put on last, or you might be in trouble. Here's another one. You have to be able to drive a stick shift car to have a man card. Now, I know there's some ladies here and others that are going to say, "Well, I've driven a stick shift," but you have to know how to do more things in this list than just the one thing to have a man card. By the way, do you know that only 18% of people in the United States have ever driven a stick shift? Yeah. So that's why men have to know how to do that. Here's another one if you want to have a man card. And I think you men will agree with me on this. You have to be able to open that jar that nobody else can. Yeah. Now, I know there's some here that always says, "Oh, well, I loosened it for you. That's why you got it," you know. But You did it because you are the man. We card-holding men know this one, especially those who live out in the country and there's branches all over, and you gather all the branches up, put them in a pile, and you have this big burn pile. In order to have a man card in this area, you have to know how to start that fire with just a book of matches and some paper. I admit I fall short on that sometimes when I'm impatient. I go get my blowtorch and my propane tank and start that baby up, and it's started within 2 minutes. Here's another one if you want to have a man card. This is a very good one. And at times, women try to butt in on this. You men will know what I mean when I tell you. In order to have that man card in this area, you have to be able to pack a car with everything in the world when you're going on a trip. I know that I've tried to pack a car, and I turn around and my significant other is repacking. That's why I said they kind of butt in sometimes. This last one, and there's many more, but I'll give you this last one. Probably the most impressive, in order to have a man card, you have to be able to back a trailer. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of a trailer. You have to be able to back it in between those imaginary lines. Attempting to back a trailer up at a boat ramp, for instance, and everybody's standing on the dock watching you, you know, and people are pulling out in the other lane with their boats. And so it's a little nerve-wracking, and, you know, it makes you think, oh, I hope I don't hit somebody on the dock or something like that. Have you ever noticed when some people back up, they can turn their heads right around like an owl and look backwards? Have you ever known that? The truth. You wonder how they're doing. They're holding on to the steering wheel with both wheels, but their head is turned completely around looking out. I prefer the side view mirror, laser method. You laser right in on those side view mirrors. Either one is good enough to obtain that mail card. Has anybody ever backed a load of garbage in up at the dump between two cars? We all laugh because people are there in line waiting for you to get out of the way. They want to dump their garbage. You're backing up there hoping that you don't hit one of their cars and stressing out that you might go over the thing in between the cables and everything if you don't stop soon enough. I should tell you that men that don't know how to back a trailer up, don't worry. We can teach you how. It takes practice. We can come down here in the parking lot of the church here and set up some cones and we can practice backing up. Well, everyone has a chance to look back when they're backing up, especially the boat ramp or something like that. And what are we doing? We're looking behind us instead of forward. So as 2022 comes to a close, there are many people still focusing on what is back behind us. Some people are struggling to look forward because they're stuck looking back. Their focus is on what is behind them and the terrible things that have happened in the year 2022. Someone mentioned during praise time today that it hasn't been the best year. Well, this morning we're going to look at a powerful story in the Bible. Some people might know it, but we'll hear it from a different perspective as we go forward. We're going to continue to forget about what's behind us and look forward, as I mentioned. You can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis if you'd like. And we'll be reading a few verses from it in chapters 18 and 19 especially. The book of Genesis, as you know, is called the book of beginnings. And so this is a great way to start the year 2023. I should mention that the prior text in chapter 13 and part of chapter 14 is that Abraham is with his nephew Lot. Both are quite wealthy, having lots of livestock and other possessions. They've been living near each other for a long time now, and they realize that the land just wasn't big enough to support all of their flocks. They have to divide and go somewhere else. So Abraham tells Lot, he can go east and I'll go west. Or he can choose to go west and I'll go east. It's your choice, Lot. Go ahead and make your choice. Lot makes the choice to go east to the fertile land of the Jordan Valley. Abraham then goes west. Genesis 13:10 tells us, Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. Like the Garden of Eden, as one version said. Must have been beautiful. Eventually, Lot headed towards Sodom, as the story goes, which was also a lush and beautiful area at the time. And because Abraham trusted God, he never looked back at their decision to let Lot make his choice. And so Lot takes his livestock and heads toward the prosperous but wicked city of Sodom. And they pitch their tents there outside the city. And while in there, Lot is captured by some Confederates, and Abraham hears about it. So eventually, Abraham goes to that area, rescues Lot and his family. And after things have calmed down a little bit, Lot then decides to go back to the city of Sodom, and this time inside the city itself. Well, the wickedness of the cities in the area were so wicked that God decided to destroy them. Genesis 18, 20, and 21 is where the Lord says, I'll be reading this one from the New International Version. And the Lord said, because the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous or very bad, I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. And if not, I will know. So God, as the scripture just said, had been hearing these things about Sodom and Gomorrah. These places were like Las Vegas on steroids. This was a bad, bad place, but God wanted some boots on the ground in order to verify what he was hearing. And now we're into Genesis chapter 19. And so God sent two angels to inspect the situation. I should warn you, if you don't already know, the next verses in chapter 19 are some of the raunchiest verses in the Bible. And the story isn't really that beautiful. But the angels arrive at Sodom and they meet Lot at the gate. Now, I'm not sure why Lot was at the gate. I don't know if anyone knows why he was at the gate. Maybe he's just greeting people, or maybe he's trying to discourage people from even coming into that city, because by then he knew how wicked the city was. He was a kind-hearted man, and he sees the angels and he talks with them. Verse 2, he asks them to come and stay at his place. And they tell him no, they want to spend the night in the city square. Well, Lot was persistent. And eventually the angels agreed to come with Lot to eat at his house. And while there, all the men of the city, old and young, as the Bible says in verse 4, surround Lot's house, and some of them are at the door. They yell, and they're banging on the door, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may have our way with them. Well, Lot's not going to have it. In fact, by now he must realize that these are two divine messengers, because he goes outside, closes the door, and tries to reason with the men of the city by calling them friends. He's saying, friends, don't do this. Think what you're doing. Well, Lot even goes so far as to offer his two virgin daughters to the angry mob. Well, it doesn't make sense, but the men tell him they don't want his daughters. They want the two men who are inside his house. Well, by now the angels have heard enough. They open the door, reach out and pull Lot back inside, and the angry mob is then stricken with blindness. The city is the worst of the worst, and the angels have heard enough by now. Well, the angels tell Lot to round up his family members in the city and get them out of there. And they inform him in verse 13, the outcry of the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. You see, the city was so bad that God had looked around and found people who did not want anything to do with him. They didn't want to honor him in any way. It was just a disgusting city. And what else could God do? Well, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were so horrific that God had to allow his judgments to take place. In fact, the previous chapter 18, God and Abraham were having a conversation about the wickedness in these cities between verses 22 and 33 of chapter 18. God trusted Abraham with his secrets and with the destruction of Sodom, and Abraham pleaded with God for that city, maybe because his nephew and family were living there. You think God trusts us with his secrets? I think he does. Finally, Abraham realized the only people left in the city who worshiped God were Lot and his family. It was a bad situation, and it couldn't have gotten any worse. Now, I know that I must be a little optimistic when I say I don't think the year 2022 is as bad as it could have been. Yet I do know there are a lot of people around the globe, not just here in the United States, that look at 2022 and they think this is the worst year they've ever had. Some people are unemployed or have lost their jobs for one reason or another. And I know it's hard to find another job if you're not a youngster anymore, especially in the same field that you just came from. So many people struggle with health issues around the globe. And as they look at their own situations, they feel it could not have gotten any worse. In the past, COVID and other sicknesses have taken their toll on us. Mental issues. You know, it takes a great strength to pull ourselves out of a dark place mentally. Here's one. So the people of 2022, when they look back, they're paralyzed with fear from what the news media is feeding them. Still others have learned from that same news media to hate more. They've learned to hate more in the year 2022, and they continue on with that hate. Now we seem to not only have fear of the unknown, but fear of the known and what we're hearing. Fear brings us more hate, and we have fear in what has been happening to us. Think about this one. Some have looked back on 2022 and saw that they've lost a loved one. We all can relate to this. And those heartaches from the loss of a loved one will be a constant reminder in which the year 2022 brought us. Suicidal issues. Do you know that suicide is on the rise, not just here in America, but around the world? Well, suicidal issues have broken our hearts in 2022. And we question ourselves if they could have been avoided. With all these things happening in 2022, what could be any worse? For a majority of people in 2022, people have taken hits that really hurt. There's a lot of hurting people out there. What do we do when we get a phone call from someone who is sobbing and crying hysterically, and finally they are able to relate to you a bad situation that occurred? What do you say? And worse yet, how would you feel if you learned something tragic happened and you found out that the person involved in that tragic event didn't want to bother you? Can you imagine how bad 2022 would seem to you if you heard something like that? Some parents in 2022 have felt that they're the worst parents in the world because their kids have turned their backs on them. And some kids have turned to drugs for comfort, or to mask the pain that they have. 2023 picks its head around the corner. Some continue to blame 2022 as the worst year yet. Now back to the story of Lot. The angel of the Lord sees a terrible situation that Lot is in, and it says in Genesis 19:14, "Hurry up and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." And down further in verse 17 in part it says, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't look back." Do you hear that? Now, I know this was a messenger of the Lord talking to Lot and his family, but how many times do we find ourselves looking back at all the bad things that have happened to us? In verse 19, Lot began to lose faith when looking back at the city. He might have been looking for his kids. Some of his kids were living in the city there. He was looking at the city, and then he was looking at the mountains around the area there, and he said, "I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die." Well, his lack of faith would contribute to what was about to happen. How often do we live our lives looking into the past and maybe even holding on to a grudge from what 2022 brought us? It's kind of like we're backing our boat up at the boat ramp, looking back, focusing on what is behind us. What will happen if we keep looking backwards in 2022 instead of forward into 2023? Is hindsight really 2020 vision? We've got to stop looking in the rearview mirrors. The next year, let's look forward to what God is going to do. All through the Bible, God is telling us and telling his people to stop lamenting, stressing, and worrying. God will heal what has happened to you in the past. Believe him. Believe what I'm saying. He will heal anything that has happened in your past. And don't listen when someone wants to drag you back into that ugly past. Try to change the subject and move on. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3:13, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Paul says he's not there yet, but one thing he wants to do is forget the past as he strains to look forward. Some versions say that he's stretching to move forward, while the King James Version says he's reaching forth into the future. And straining might look something like this. Have you ever been up in a hot air balloon or see the way they work? They lay them out flat on the ground, and eventually they start pumping some hot air into the balloon itself. The balloon starts to rise from the ground, and it's attached to a cage to hold it down. Well, that cage is tied down to the ground. As more and more air is pumped into the balloon, it continues to strain and want to move away from the ground. Well, straining as the balloon wants to break free, they finally cut the ropes or untie the ropes, and away the balloon goes. I'll give you one more example. Pretty much all of us have been in an airplane. If we haven't, don't fly Southwest Airlines. Just kidding, Southwest. An aircraft carrier is on the runway straining to take off. The engines rev up and the plane rocks a little bit. You've been there. It rocks. Your heart starts pumping a little faster. The plane is straining to take off. You look outside, the wing flaps go up, and the engines rev up a little more, and as the plane strains to go, and finally, the pilot lets off the brake, and away it goes, down the runway, up into the sky. So Paul is straining to go forward with all his might, and he wants us to forget, as much as he wanted to forget, all the bad things that had happened in the past. Well, this verse from Paul has brought me a lot of comfort. It'll bring you comfort in the year 2023. So Lot and his wife and their two girls are running for their lives as God's merciful judgments rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah and extinguishes it forever. As they run for cover, Lot's wife, a mother who also has children back there in the city, who didn't want to come with her, a mother who enjoyed the lavish lifestyle back in Sodom, decided to look back. Genesis 19:26 says, "But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." Remember what I read to you that Lot had said a little earlier? "I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die." From the book Patriarchs and Prophets, page 160, inspired writer says this, "Greater firmness at that time on Lot's part in heeding the angel's command would have meant his wife's salvation." Isn't that something? We need to be careful what we're saying. Did you know there are still pillars of salt in what is known as Sodom there in the southern end of the Dead Sea? Currently, nothing grows there but a few weeds with all the salt and tar pits. God had commanded Lot and his family not to look behind them. Resenting the disruption of her comfortable life in Sodom and wishing to return, maybe for her children, she disobeyed the warning. Very interesting that she became salt. I mean, God could have turned her into anything, don't you think? Maybe water, or maybe a pillar of silver or gold, maybe a pillar of stone. But why salt? Well, I believe there's meaning in this, and we know that oftentimes in the Bible, salt is a metaphor for something, like a desolate place, a wasteland where nothing grows. Sodom is still a wasteland where nothing grows. A few verses that I looked at, and there's many more. Psalms 107, 33 and 34 says, "He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into a thirsty land, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who live there." Worthless, wasteland. God was talking to Job in Job 39, 5 and 6 when he said, "Who let the donkey go free? Who untied its ropes? I gave the donkey the wasteland as its home, the salt flat as its habitat." And you remember the weeping prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:6, "They will dwell in a parched place of the desert, in a land where no one lives. So it's a piece of property where no one lives. Sodom was turned into a salt and tar pit by God. I'll give you one more here. Surely Moab will become like Sodom, and the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a place of weeds and salt pits. By the way, did you know that the tribe of Moab came from Lot? Moab was Lot's first son after they had left Sodom. Well, what are the things that are keeping us from looking forward? We all have habits. Some might be shameful or unworthy, much like a wasteland. And are we consumed with the W word, worry? Well, Lot's wife looked back at something that was worthless, and she became worthless. When we look back, we're looking at something that might be worthless to us. We cannot grow if we keep looking back. What good is remembering an ugly past anyway? It just brings us grief. Well, some listening today might be experiencing a broken relationship or the loss of a friend. Others might be going through a separation or divorce, discouragement or death. God will help us if we let Him. Depression will ease when we talk with Him. That's all He wants us to do, talk with Him. Well, from our story today, there are many other places in our Bibles that refer to salt. But for now, let's refresh our memories and our minds with the scriptures in Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. And I'm going to read this in the Good News Bible, and this will be the end of our sermon today. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says this, "But the Lord says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what has happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It's already happening. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Welcome to those streams of living water as you talk to God." Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can bring all of our burdens to you, all of the ugly past, all of those things that have happened in our lives that we try to forget but can't. Help us to move forward looking for your grace and leadership along our way. In Jesus' name, amen.